Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 4. When you walk to the edge of all the light you have and take that first step into the darkness of the unknown, you must believe that one of two things will happen. There will be something solid for you to stand upon, or you will be taught to fly. Patrick Overton. When Layla was strong enough, Elliot helped her outside so that she could sit on the grass under the oak's shading arms as he whittled and sawed and carved. It was like the old days, he thought, when Layla was no taller than his knee and their time was spent almost ceaselessly side by side, exploring the world that became new when he looked at it through her eyes. He let the boys come to visit, Sam with soft words and books and sketching supplies, and Jacob with tales of playground fights and pranks. Elliot ushered them away whenever Layla's laughter turned to a weak smile and then, inevitably, sleep-laden lids. But, gradually, her health returned and Elliot went back to work, leaving her under Jacob's watchful eye. "I'll be working in the village, up at the Hendersons if you need me. You be sure to call me if anything happens, okay, Jake? Anything." Jacob gave a characteristic shrug. "Sure." But there was a sincerity there that reassured Elliot, who knew that if Jacob could be trusted with anything, it was Layla's well-being. Elliot pulled Layla to him, his voice and his hold urgent. "You two look after each other now, and stay in the garden until I get back just this once. No wandering off, okay?" Layla poked her tongue out at him. "I'm fine, Dad. Love you." And with that, she was off. They were well above the platform of the treehouse before they heard her father's van trundle away. Layla was staring into the distance, eyes hovering somewhere beyond the church. Jacob gave her a prod in the side. "Jammy shit, missing the last 2 weeks of school." He plucked a cigarette from his pocket and waved it at her as he spoke. "I didn't even get that when I broke my arm." Layla shuffled her feet so that she was bracing her back against one of the forks in the branches. She picked at the scab on her wrist. "Dad was probably a bit scared after what happened with my mum, that time of year and all." Jacob scuffed at a loose piece of bark with his boot and pulled back to the safety of trading insults. He dug her in the ribs again, this time with more gusto. "Pfft, skiver." "Hey!" Sam's voice spun up through the tree. Layla lowered the fist she'd prepared for Jacob and switched it out for an obscene gesture. She peered past the layers of leaves. Sam squinted up at them, the hand that sheltered his eyes not quite covering the newly formed scar he'd acquired while trying to outrun his own panic at the carnival. It sat alongside the old one, the crinkled marks nearly touching, but where Jacob wore all of his scars with pride, Sam only pulled his fair hair further over his face in an attempt to cover them. "Hey yourself," Layla called. "Coming up." Sam shook his head and jabbed a thumb. "I've got these two to look after." Behind him stood two dungaree-clad kids, their fat knuckles bunched around a dripping lolly. In their free hands, they wielded wooden boats that they intermittently used to half-heartedly batter each other with. "We're headed to the river. Want to join?" "Why, hello there, Master and Little Miss Henderson." Jacob doffed an imaginary cap to the children. He mimicked Sam, gesturing with a thumb at Layla. "Can't. Got this one to take care of. You could hang here." Behind her hand, Layla winked at Jacob. "Fuck off," he mouthed. "Nah, these two are fit to burst. Better get them somewhere they can let off steam," Sam said. "Well, see you." He took the kids in tow, each giving a sticky-handed wave as they left. "Jesus," snorted Jacob when Sam had gone. "He's collecting so many scars, he's going to be unrecognisable by the time we leave school. Like it stops you wanting to snog his face off." "Yeah, all right, dickhead. How about you with Jude, what's-his-face in geography, or bloody Laura? Who's a real slut here?" When she didn't reply, he flicked the lighter in front of Layla's face. "Hey, where you at? You've been staring at that field all bloody day. What is it? Zombies? Vampires?" Bit sunny for vampires right now, mind you. Layla conjured a smile that wouldn't have fooled the Henderson kids. "Nothing. I thought I saw something before, that's all." "Right, well, was it food? Because I'm starving." He began climbing down. "Let's go eat." Layla reluctantly made to leave her perch. Jacob was already well beneath her, slipping from branch to branch with ease. She made to follow him, then paused. A sound, low and mournful, carried across the village. Bells. 12 strikes in each one made Layla more certain that they weren't coming from the church, but from the old bell tower. "Hey, can you hear that? Jacob! Jacob!" This meant that the events of her birthday had actually happened, that Layla had seen her mother, that she could be waiting for her right now, just the other side of the village. She began scrambling down the oak, catching her knee as she went, not caring if she bled, nearly missing holds, and then she stopped. The church bells, she thought. Once they'd rung, her mother had vanished. And how long had the interval been between the ruins, bells, and the churches? Only a matter of minutes. Even if she sprinted, she'd never make it in time. Fuck, she hissed. She drew in a breath and focused. If she couldn't get to her mother, she'd watch instead. She clambered back to her vantage point and trained her gaze on the ruin, tracing the stone's corner down to where it met the grass. Was that a shadow? A crow? It was too far to tell, and then, before she could figure it out, the church bells rang. They ate in silence, Layla with her eyes constantly on the kitchen clock, wondering how she could escape and get to the ruins for the next hour. Jacob administered a sharp reprimand with his fork. Her distraction had not gone unnoticed. "What the hell?" Layla said, rubbing the smarting skin. "Come on then." "What?" "I heard the bells too. It was weird. I mean, they're probably just testing them or something. Or the mechanism got all screwed up. I don't know. But if you're going to be a weirdo all day, I'd rather go find out what it is." Layla stared at him. "Do you want to go or not?" They used the oak to clamber over the wall. Moss dragged green streaks down the bellies of their shirts as they landed in Jacob's garden. Jacob's mum was out at work, but his dad finished early in the afternoons, so they crept past the curtained windows of his house. Once clear of the garden, they ran along the village road and up through the rows of houses and their uniformly neat trellises and hedges of laurel and box, careful to avoid the street where Layla's father was working. Layla's body felt feeble from the days of enforced rest, but she pushed on, striving to keep up. They ran until they reached the outer boundaries of the graveyard, where they staggered to a halt, panting. Jacob looked at his watch, peering sideways under a graze in the glass he'd acquired after an experiment with fireworks. 10-2, he sighed and slumped down on one of the gravestones. "At least we'll be ready." But they wouldn't be. They were at the wrong place. Layla knew it. But how could she tell Jacob that they needed to be somewhere else? She'd sound mad. She looked up at the church and its bell tower, tall and gaunt in the afternoon sun. The spire seemed aggressive, detached from the nature around it, and the ornate housing of the bell beneath it seemed ugly. It was nothing like the empty, strangely beautiful ruin only a short sprint away. With growing dread, Layla watched the long hand approach 12. To think she'd been so close to her mother only to miss her again was unbearable. But 1 o'clock came and went with nothing remarkable, the tin and copper of the church bell nodding dutifully between its brick housing. Perhaps she was wrong. Perhaps it only happened on certain days or times or when she was alone, but no, she'd seen her mother earlier, or at least she'd seen something. And she'd heard two sets of bells. That she was sure of. She began to fidget, wishing Jacob wasn't there, trying to conjure up ways to get him to go home, to leave her to the ruins and her mother. Even the prospect of disappointment should her mother not appear seemed more palatable alone. But he stayed steadfastly by her side, refusing to abandon his role. "Do you think Sam might feel the same?" he asked, scuffing the toe of his trainers into the dry grass. Two came and went. Frustration grew on both sides, and Jacob, having had no good reason to come in the first place, implored her to go home. He'd begun to regret his decision, worrying that Elliot would discover their absence, and while Jacob wasn't a stranger to trouble, the idea he might make Elliot upset produced an uncomfortable sensation in his stomach. "Then I'll just have to come back tomorrow," Layla had replied, and Jacob had weighed it up and settled on one day of bollocking rather than two. Then the resounding moan of bells marking 3 o'clock rang out, but not from the bell tower above them. Jacob, mouth open in confusion, finally said what Layla had known all along. "They're not coming from the church." He looked around. "Where are they?" Layla knew, and there was no point pretending she didn't. She ran. "Hey, where are you going? Lay?" But she was off, sprinting past crumbled graves and moulding flowers. "Hey!" Layla's feet pounded over the field, and then she was scrambling over trunks and brambles, a mere stone's throw from the rock beneath the ruins. But too late. The church bells chimed. In the diminishing echo of the final bell, she saw the outline of her mother sat upon the rock, and as silence returned, the image faded into transparency. No! Layla felt as though something necessary, something meaty, had been ripped out of her. To have seen her, to know that she had been there just seconds before, if Layla had just run fast enough, if Jacob hadn't been there. No! I need you to be here! I need you to tell me what the hell is going on! I need you! The colour drained away from the world, replaced instead with jasmine and flashes of bubbling skin, near moonless nights and the silent, burned lips of the stranger. Her mother's words came back to her, and she repeated them to herself in frantic whispers, trying to figure out whether they felt like something she'd really heard, or if she'd made them up. Made it all up. Find the ancient place beyond the veil. Listen for the drums. Take the ash from our fire and cast it into the hearth. I'll see you under the next new moon. Was it a new moon? She had no idea. And how long did one last? How long until the next one? She felt broken, empty, with nothing left in her to process what was happening. Jacob caught up, red-faced and puffing. Hey, Lay, he noticed her face and grimaced. What's got into you? Layla said nothing. She felt as though she were trapped behind a cloud, thick and pervasive, that had rolled in around her and that its grey walls made reaching anyone beyond it impossible. Help, she cried from her invisible prison. Help! Hey, Lay, come on! Jacob strolled over to her and half playfully bumped a fist onto her shoulder. It was too much. She tried to find a way for everything inside her to come out in neat little lines and words and actions, but she couldn't, so she kicked him, hard, much harder than she'd meant to. Fuck off! It came out high and strangled. He didn't. She saw his face change from concerned and playful to mad as hell, incensed by the throbbing pain in his shin. But he only took a slow, deep breath and raised an eyebrow at her. The pits of his eyes kept their kindness. She did it again and again, beating him with her fists when kicking wasn't enough, and at last she watched the adrenaline surge through his fight-ready body. Good, she thought. He launched himself at her, grabbing her arms and pinning them above her head. She tried to wrench her way free, but he was older and stronger. He sat on her chest, pinning her effortlessly. Let me go! She yelled, struggling against his weight, relieved at last to have something to rail against. She thrashed her legs and felt her knees connect with the back of his ribcage, and it felt good, as though all her pain and anguish were there, made solid in Jacob's body. Not until you tell me what's going on. Jacob increased the pressure on her arms. Tell me what's wrong, Lay. Talk to me. Let me go. He pinched her wrist, drawing blood. Talk to me. She kneed him again, hoping she could hurt him enough that he'd leave rather than keep asking her to do the one thing she wanted to do more than anything else, but couldn't. Talk to me. She gave up. Her body weakened. Come on, Lay. We tell each other everything. Bloody everything. Although I'm starting to regret telling you about Sam, the amount you take the piss about it. He tried to laugh. Layla began to sob in frustration, no longer trying to escape, just wanting it to all be over. Just wanting to crawl into her bed and sleep. Lady Lay? I saw my mum. What? He shifted some of his weight onto his heels but didn't release her. What do you mean you saw her? He gripped her arms tighter, pressing them into the dirt. Shit. Look, can I let you go or are you going to kick me again? She shook her head and he released his grip. They sat, facing each other. He stalled, not knowing what to do, and eventually pulled a crumpled cigarette packet from his pocket and handed her one. Tell me. His blue eyes, tinged with concern, levelled hers. For a moment, they sat in silence and did nothing but watch the smoke curl upwards. I saw my mum, Layla said eventually. She spoke quietly, forming the words with care. It was absurd, hearing herself say it aloud for the first time. Utterly mad. She was there. I saw her. I saw her and then she disappeared. I did, Jacob. Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you, I saw her. Jacob bit his lip and wrinkled his nose. Okay, Lay. Okay. He looked around as if suddenly uncomfortable, exhaling smoke deliberately. Let's head home, shall we? Your dad'll be back soon, and I promised I'd keep you out of trouble. He pulled Layla to her feet, but she didn't want to move. Instead, she stared wild-eyed at the landscape around her, lost. He tugged at her t-shirt. I saw her at the carnival too. She told me... Jesus, come on, he said gently. He took her hand and began leading her back toward the church. She gazed back at its ruined counterpart, keeping it in focus until its stone disappeared behind the yews of the graveyard. They made their way home through the village, Layla with the occasional glance behind her and Jacob with deliberate care not to let go of her hand, as if doing so would be to release her to the demons he imagined pursued her. Neither said a word until they were inside the quiet of the kitchen. Jacob watched the driveway from the door and waited until he saw the van pulling up. I'll be off then. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care not to run off without me. But his voice had no mirth left and the wink he gave was mechanical. Layla said nothing, but continued to stare at the grain of the table as he slipped away quietly, retracing their earlier steps and scaling the wall to his garden. Elliot stepped inside and cast a quick, vacant smile at Layla. His face was ashen. He ignored the mud he trailed into the house and went through to the living room, sitting on the sofa with his head in his hands. Layla felt anxiety jolt through her. Had she been seen? Could Jacob have said something? Layla. Her dad patted the cushion next to him and she followed and sat, trying to think up excuses for why she'd left the garden. She worried at her lip with her thumbnail until her father gently took her hand in his, wrapping his fingers around hers. They were like cold stone. You've got to listen, love. There's something I have to say. Layla felt the sweat on his palm slide over her knuckles and her stomach lurched. Two of the Henderson kids were playing in the stream. Layla took a moment to catch up, adjust. Then she nodded, relaxing a little. She wasn't in trouble. They were with Sam, she said. And then her father looked at her and she knew. She imagined the Henderson kids with their little wooden boats paddling with their trousers rolled up above their pudgy ankles, wanting to know why their boats with their coloured sails weren't drifting downstream. She pictured Sam at the carnival, how he'd paled at the thought of the ghost train, bent double to fit inside the fortune teller's caravan, how she'd taken his hand and run and run. We're headed to the river. Want to join? And she thought of Sam's face, letting water slip by its edges, blocking the river's flow. Layla, I'm so sorry. Her father couldn't get the words out. He couldn't tell her, but it didn't matter. She knew what her father was trying to say. She knew because it had been whispered to her from the snarling hole in the dead tree. A grim prophecy that had taken her friend. Sam was dead. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at @twisted_roots_agparker or @a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.